Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Blood of the Wolf by Corina Espinosa, narrated by Nicole Poole. 1. The rain poured down, weighing down my wool coat and making it hard to see through the dense forest. I relied mainly on shadow senses to guide me through Caledonian Forest as we ran. Branches whipped against my face and the rain soaked my skin and hair, plastering it against my skin. My heart pounded in my chest, and I breathed heavily as we bounded out of the tree line and into an open pasture. The night sky illuminated the field, the moon and stars guiding the way. I grabbed the hood from the hoodie pinned underneath my wool coat and placed it over my head, then snapped the reins to make Shadow run toward the cabin. I looked around to make sure we weren't being followed, but the only thing I could hear was the blood pumping in my ears and the thunderous rain. Shadow ran faster with every snap of the reins, sensing my urgency and feeding off my fear. As we approached the cabin, we skidded to a stop and I jumped off Shadow. I took the reins and latched them to the nearest wooden post, patting Shadow on the side. "I'll be back," I murmured, licking my lips and tasting the rain. I hiccuped on a cry and rested my head against Shadow's until I collected myself, my tears mixed with the rain. I sprinted to the front door of the cabin and ripped off my hood, banging on the door with a closed fist. All the lights inside were off, and I worried Lucian wasn't home. He wouldn't be asleep at this hour, so either he wasn't home and was somewhere in the village or... I don't know. I banged on the door even harder, making the glass in the windows rattle. I let out a little cry and bit my bottom lip, trying to swallow back the noise. I looked behind me to make sure my guards or Bash hadn't followed me out of the castle, when suddenly the front door swung open and the porch light flicked on. I gasped and stumbled backward, turning to stare at who stood before me. My chest heaved from the adrenaline rush of running from the castle all the way here in secret. He frowned, standing before me dressed in black silk pajamas and a matching robe. His blonde hair was tied at the nape of his neck. He held onto the door as he watched me, dripping wet on his welcome doormat.
"I need your help," I gasped. I
looked around for the right answer, but I couldn't find it. All I felt was desperation. I'd never felt so scared before in my life.
"Lucian, I'm pregnant."
His dark eyes widened as they sized me up and down, and then he released a long breath.
"Well, this is deja vu all over again."
He opened the door wider.
"Come, pet. It's pouring outside. Get in."
I hurried inside and wrapped my arms around my midsection as I entered Lucian's small living room. The door closed behind me with a click as the lock was engaged, and Lucian walked to the sofa and grabbed the afghan that was resting on the back. Unfolding it, he wrapped it around me and tucked it under my chin.
"Why would you come running here in this weather in your condition, pet?"
he asked kindly as he walked to the kitchen. I followed him, feeling wretched and miserable.
"I had nowhere else to go," I sniffled.
Lucian started boiling water in a teapot.
"I don't want tea,"
I grimaced.
"Get me coffee."
He grunted.
"Coffee? While pregnant? Sorry, pet, I don't have decaf."
"Decaf?"
I scoffed.
"What kind of blasphemy is that?"
Lucian peered over his shoulder at me in shock.
"You're having tea. That's final. You need to warm up. You're shivering like a chihuahua."
I growled in response, but it didn't sound as tough as it should. When Lucian was done, he set me down at the small dining table and poured me a cup of chamomile tea. I wrapped my hands around the cup to warm myself, but didn't raise it to my lips. Lucian sat across from me and sighed.
"Why are you here, pet?"
I can't do this, Lucian. I can't have a baby,"
I wailed. His eyes widened slightly and he cleared his throat.
"You know, your mum came to me in the middle of the night too, running from someone. I never figured out who, but she came to me on a rainy night to tell me she was pregnant with you and asked me to help her. But even in the midst of her trials, not once did she want to get rid of you."
He glared at me. All she thought about was how she could protect you. I gritted my teeth.
"Don't compare me to Adeline. She wasn't queen. She didn't have hundreds of enemies."
Lucian tilted his head. No, she didn't have hundreds of enemies. She had one, and it cost your mother her life. That should be answer enough, I growled. So you're only trying to protect yourself? Lucian scoffed. I rolled my eyes and slammed my palm on the table, making the cup of tea rattle in its delicate bone china saucer with hand-painted pink roses. No, I'm protecting the future heir to the McCoy-Nish line. It won't survive. If I give birth to this child, I'll only do more damage. I sighed, slumping back in my seat.
You don't know that, pet, Lucian whispered. You are the ultimate protector. If anyone can protect that child, it's you.
A single tear slid down my face and I wiped it away roughly. I can barely protect myself. Lucian pursed his lips.
Does Sebastian know?
I shook my head. I found out tonight, but I'm pretty sure he knows something. He frowned.
Why do you say that?
When I ate the nightshade at our ceremony, my vision was of a teenager. He looked so much like Bash, except he had gray eyes. I didn't put it together until I found out I was pregnant. I'm sure Bash had a similar vision.
You can't hide this from him, Pat. You must tell him.
Lucian leaned forward.
You're not alone. Sebastian will protect you and that child with his life, he whispered.
I covered my face with my hands and took deep breaths as I processed his words and the implications this decision would have on our future. Lucian was right. I didn't have to do this alone. I had Bash, but Bash was biased. No matter how much danger there was, he'd still want this baby. His dream was to have a large, boisterous family. With this child, he would get everything he ever wanted. Except this was my nightmare come true. In my life, a child would be nothing but a weakness. They were vulnerable, and I would be destroyed if I couldn't protect them. I had to put the lichen first, and with a child, I wouldn't be able to do that.
Pet.
Lucian reached for my trembling hand across the table. I peered up at him.
Don't make any rash decisions. Talk to him before you do anything. I'll help you. You know I'd do anything for you, Pet, but be smart about this. This is the heir to the McCoy-Nish line. It must be protected at all costs, even if it's from you.
I jerked back and snatched my hand away from him, furrowing my brows at his ominous tone. You would really go against me?
If it means protecting that baby, yes. Some things are bigger than you, Pet.
I narrowed my eyes and swallowed as I processed his words. Was this bigger than me? Ophelia sure thought it was. Now Lucian. No matter where I turned, there was someone there to protect this unborn child. I tried to look at the positives, at how I could keep this baby safe, but the enemies in the dark kept clouding my vision. It just seemed utterly and completely impossible. There's something else I haven't told you, I muttered, and it might just change your tune.
What is it, Pat?
He asked carefully. I looked at my hands and then up at Lucian with glassy eyes. We're not the only ones who know about the baby. Abaddon knows. That's what he's after. He's after the baby. Slowly, Lucian's eyes widened until he fell back in his chair. An unsettling quiet descended over the room. That was a complete game changer, and he knew it. He sent me a wedding gift, I continued. It was a rattle with a little note that basically said he's coming for me and the baby. Knowing that, do you still think I can protect it? I raised a challenging brow. Lucian calmly took a sip of his tea and frowned.
That doesn't make sense, Pat. What would a demon want with a baby?
I was about to answer, but my voice caught in my throat when I realized it must be because of the fey magic in my blood. What was going on inside me because of the baby? I couldn't tell Lucian about that part, not now at least. I needed to speak with Ophelia. She must have more information.
I don't know, I mumbled. Listen to me, Pet. First thing in the morning, you must tell Sebastian and Alexander. You need medical attention. A lichen pregnancy is not easy, and you will need help that I cannot give you.
I shook my head adamantly, my eyes wild.
No! If I do that, people will find out!
Lucian snapped back.
You'll eventually start to show. Even if you try to hide it, they'll find out in a couple of months.
Fuck!
Lucian got up from his chair and came around the table to squat beside me, grabbing my hands.
Everything will be fine, pet. Trust me. This happened for a reason. We may not know why just yet, but I am convinced there is a reason. You are meant to be a mother, and you will be an amazing one. But you need to have some confidence in yourself and trust that you can protect this child. You're Mackenzie Gray. There's nothing you cannot do.
I snorted. I'm not invincible, Luce. A baby might just be the one thing that can defeat me. Lucian smirked.
I think this baby will make you stronger than ever. There's nothing a mother won't do for her child. You'll move mountains.
I looked down at my abdomen that was covered by a damp hoodie and placed my hand over it.
Whomever was in there was special. So much so he had a damn demon chasing it before he was even born.
Even Ophelia said he would be the greatest leader the Lycan would ever know. He already had his own prophecy. His destiny was huge, and it was my responsibility to protect him. Could I live up to the task? Lucian patted my hand reassuringly.
Go back to the castle. The forest is not safe, pet, especially for you.
Lucian said.
Go home, rest, and speak with Sebastian in the morning.
I clutched my abdomen and bit my lip as I nodded. We stood at the same time, and Lucian walked me to the door. I flipped my hood over my head and prepared to leave.
Don't fret, pet. Everything will be okay.
Thank you, Luce, I muttered as he opened the door and I stepped outside. Without looking back, I headed for the wooden post where Shadow was secured and unwrapped the reins with trembling hands. I climbed onto Shadow and motioned him around to head toward the forest. Instead of a run, we started off in a trot. I was not in a rush to return to the castle.
2.
By the time I walked across the drawbridge to the castle, a light drizzle was all that was left from the previous deluge. Two guards standing at their post were about to deny me entrance when they saw my face. Startled, they glanced at one another in confusion before hastily letting me in. I heard them report my entrance through the radio, but I didn't have the energy to care about the repercussions of my escape from the castle. My Converse sneakers made squishy noises as they sloshed onto the pristine marble floor as I headed toward the grand staircase that led to my chamber. Guards were posted all along the way, but they were eerily quiet as I dragged myself upstairs. When I reached the corridor that led to the royal wing, William was pacing outside the door waiting for me. He ran a hand through his buzz-cut hair and scratched at his scalp in frustration. He wasn't on duty tonight, but when the other guards realized I was gone, they must have woken him up.
Your Majesty!
He stormed over to me, meeting me halfway.
Where have you been? It was storming tonight. How could you go out there like that?
I was deflated and tired and lacked the energy to argue or explain my actions. I just wanted to go to bed, but I knew that would be impossible. Heavy boots sounded behind me, getting louder and louder with each booming step. I didn't have to turn around to know who it was.
You have a lot of explaining to do, Your Majesty,
Ranulf shouted from the end of the corridor. I tightened my hands into fists to keep from crying. Right now, all I wanted was Bash. I didn't want to speak to anyone else. Ranulf grabbed my arm and whirled me around, throwing my hood back.
And you're dressed like a commoner!
I rolled my eyes. That should be the least of your worries. I ripped my arm from him.
What the hell were you thinking, Your Majesty? It's dangerous out there, especially for you!
Ranulf yelled. I knew he was right, especially after receiving that package from Abaddon, but I couldn't sit still. After opening it, I hid it in the closet right away. Once we'd spent a respectable amount of time at the reception for our mating ceremony, Bash and I went to sleep, but I couldn't even close my eyes. Hours went by and sleep never came. I knew I had to do something, anything, but the only thing I could think to do was to reach out to the only one I knew I could count on in times of peril, Lucian. He always told me to go to his cottage if I was ever in trouble, and right now I was in a lot of trouble. Except I didn't get the response I expected. I don't answer to you, I growled. Ranulf's expression darkened.
You may nae answer to me, princess, but my job is to protect ye. So right now, you will answer me.
Ranulf, William gasped, taking hold of my arm lightly and pulling me back.
The Queen should probably get cleaned up and get some rest. We can talk afterward.
Ranulf's glare was unmoving as we stared each other down.
Double the guards around the Queen. I don't want her going anywhere.
Without another word, he spun on his heels and stormed away.
Come on, Your Majesty. Let's get you some dry clothes.
William was gentle as he ushered me into the royal wing. We entered the common area and there were guards all around. Apparently, William was 10 steps ahead of Ranulf. He'd already doubled the guards. William? I turned to the guard and stopped him mid-step. I need a favor.
Anything, Your Majesty.
I need the guards gone, I said.
Anything but that,
he said dryly. I sighed. I promise I'm not going anywhere. I just need to speak to Bash without any prying ears. What I need to tell him is extremely private. No one can know. William's face tightened.
Your Majesty, I cannot leave you unguarded. Ranulf would have my head.
I bit my lip as I thought about it for a moment. Then you stay behind, only you. But what you hear, you cannot repeat. William frowned, not liking the idea whatsoever.
You know I would never betray your trust, Your Majesty.
I nodded. I know.
Very well.
William grunted and turned to the guards.
All right, lads, let's give the Queen some privacy. Head down to the foyer. I'll come get you in a moment. Aye.
They all agreed and started to exit the royal wing. William turned to me.
I'll be right outside in the corridor just in case anyone decides to come upstairs, if you need anything.
Thank you, William. I patted him on the shoulder. He was the last to exit the common room. I took a deep breath before running my hands through my wet hair. I shook out my hands and approached the double doors that led to the Queen's private chambers. I turned the handles and opened the doors, stepping inside. I expected Bash to be sound asleep, but instead he was sitting on the edge of the bed in the dark room with only a small lamp turned on. He wore a pair of cotton pajama pants and nothing else. His hands were clasped between his legs and his head hung to his chest. He was waiting for me. Bash, I whispered.
It's late, Mackenzie. Just come to bed.
He sounded so disappointed and defeated. It was the last thing I wanted to do to him, especially on the night of our mating ceremony. Bash, please look at me, I pleaded. His shoulders slumped and he sighed heavily before lifting his head and staring at me with cold blue eyes.
Do you know why I'm awake?
He cut me off. I shook my head with wide eyes, unable to say a word.
Your fear woke me up. It was bone-chilling. I've never felt you like that before.
I rode through the forest in the middle of the night, fueled on pure adrenaline. I never expected it to be fear as well. I guess I was scared. This whole situation scared me to death. I walked over to Bash and knelt before him, placing my hands on his knees. I'll explain everything. I promise. Just don't look at me like that. Don't look at me with those dead eyes. Bash threw his head back and looked up at the ceiling.
I can't keep doing this, Mackenzie,
he whispered. My heart started to beat erratically and my breathing quickened. I forced myself to blink back tears and gripped the cloth of his pants to get his attention. Please, just listen to me, Bash. His head fell forward and he looked at me.
What now, Mackenzie? You're going to apologize and promise you'll never do it again, but you will, you...
I'm pregnant, I cried. He choked on what he was about to say and stared at me with wide eyes, frozen in place. I found out tonight after the ceremony. When I got back up here, I found a package from Abaddon. It was a baby rattle. He knows. The baby is what he's after, Bash. That's what he's looking for.
That's not possible,
he murmured.
You're on birth control.
I think it has something to do with the Fey magic in my blood, I sighed, closing my eyes for a moment. I don't know, I'm just guessing here. Honestly, it doesn't really matter what it is at this point because the damage is done.
Damage?
Bash choked out.
Is it really that horrible of an idea to have a child with me?
I dropped my forehead on his knee and exhaled. That's not what I'm saying, I muttered. Don't take my words out of context. I said a lot of stuff just now and that's what you focused on? I raised my head to stare at him.
You've never wanted children, Mackenzie. What am I supposed to think?
Shivering in my wet clothes, I slumped back on my heels, my hands dropping to my thighs. I realized that no matter what I said, it wouldn't change the fact that I didn't want children. He knew that. I'd made it painstakingly clear from day one. It wasn't that I didn't like children. I did. If the situation was different, I wouldn't mind starting a family. But the life we led wasn't meant for a settled-down life like that. I didn't know how much clearer I could make it. Even before I was made queen, I had enemies. Now I had even more. It seemed never-ending.
What do you plan to do, Mackenzie? Alexander won't let you get rid of the heir to the throne,
he said angrily. My eyes blurred with unshed tears and my bottom lip wobbled as I realized my choices were no longer mine. The thought alone made me chuckle a bit. It was such an oxymoron. I spent so many years fighting for my freedom, for the freedom of Lunas and lone wolves, just to lose my freedom in the end. It made me feel like a hypocrite, like everything I'd done was a lie. I fought so hard for everyone else, but I couldn't even fight for myself. Bash dropped down to the floor beside me and knelt, taking my hands in his.
Listen to me, Mackenzie. We can do this. I know what you're worried about, but together we can protect this baby. Have some faith. Don't give up so quickly. I know you're scared, but being scared is a good sign. It means you care and you know the importance of what you're about to do. So don't give in to those thoughts and don't do anything crazy. Stay with me, please.
He pleaded. I felt completely numb. I didn't know if it was from riding in the rain and still being in wet clothes, or from the impossibility of the situation, but I couldn't feel a thing. Lucian told me he would protect this baby, even if it was from me. Bash was ready to lay down his life for his child. And there I was, ready to throw in the towel. I was such a coward. I was scared, terrified even. How the hell could I raise a Lycan baby? What was I going to do, send the kid off to public school in the human world? Or should I let him be raised by the Lycan? Both thoughts sounded absurd to me and impossible. But was it? I turned my head and stared my mate and husband straight in the eyes. If we do this, no one can know, at least not right now. This baby has to stay a secret as long as possible.
We have to tell Alexander,
Bash amended. I nodded. Of course. We'll tell Alexander and Ranulf, but no one else. The more people who know, the more dangerous it is.
Wait.
Bash stopped me.
We should tell Dr. Harris. You need to be checked out as soon as possible. We need to know how far along you are.
I bit my lip, contemplating whether it was okay to tell the doc. I didn't know him all that well, but he seemed okay. Even so, a lot of people seemed okay and turned out not to be, so I didn't want to go off first impressions. But Bash was right, I needed to see a doctor. I hadn't been feeling well lately, and this might be why. Okay, we'll have Ranulf make an appointment with Dr. Harris on the low. William is the only guard keeping watch, and he's probably hearing our conversation now, so he can be the only guard to accompany us. No other guards, I insisted.
Fine, let's call Alexander and Ranulf.
It's the middle of the night, I screeched, stopping him as he was about to stand. We can discuss this later at a decent hour.
Bash shook his head.
This is too important to wait, especially if you've already received a threat from Abaddon. They must be told now.
I didn't stop him when he strode out of our bedroom to ask William to call Ranulf and bring both him and Alexander to our chambers. This was going to be a long night. Bash and I were in the common room when Ranulf and Alexander walked in together. Ranulf was all geared up as if he never went to sleep, while Alexander was wearing a robe over his striped pajamas.
What is so important that it needs to be addressed in the wee hours of the morning?
Ranulf grumbled.
Have a seat.
Bash motioned to the sofa across from us, and Alexander went to sit, while Ranulf stayed standing, crossing his arms over his chest. Alexander's gray eyes traveled to me, and he took in my drenched hoodie and long wool coat. Definitely not nightwear.
What's wrong, darling?
I ran a trembling hand over my wet, knotted hair and took a deep breath. I learned something last night, from Ophelia.
Did you learn what the demon is after?
Ranulf asked with a raised brow. I shook my head. I found that out from Abaddon himself. Both their eyes widened. He sent me a package, here to the castle.
What does he want?
Ranulf demanded, taking a step toward us.
What did Ophelia say?
Alexander asked gently. I pressed my lips together for a quick pause. They were the same thing. Ophelia told me something I have, and Abaddon told me he wants it.
Well?
Ranulf urged. I looked over at Bash for reassurance, and he nodded, smiling for me to keep going. He reached over and squeezed my hand comfortingly, not letting go. My eyes went back to Alexander and Ranulf, who alternated between patience and annoyance as they waited for me to respond. I took a deep breath. I'm pregnant. A hush fell over the room, and it felt as if everyone held their breaths. Bash never once let me go as we faced them and waited for a reply, a reaction, anything in response to what I just said.
You're what?
Alexander whispered, looking stunned. I'm pregnant, with child, bun in the oven, knocked up. I don't know how else to say it. I swallowed loudly.
Are you mad?
I winced.
Mad?
Alexander let out a boisterous laugh.
I'm bloody ecstatic.
I jerked back as he jumped up from his seat and ran over to me, engulfing me in a huge hug.
This is such a relief, darling.
He whispered in my ear and squeezed me tightly. When Alexander pulled back, his eyes were glossy.
The family line continues.
I didn't feel an ounce of relief whatsoever.
We've nae had any little ones running around the castle in a long time.
Alexander beamed.
Oh, this is wonderful.
We can't tell anyone, I interrupted. At least not right now. It's too dangerous.
Is the baby what the demon wants?
Ranulf asked shrewdly.
Yes,
Bash answered.
He sent her a package with a baby rattle and this note.
He handed everything over to Ranulf, who took it and looked over the note. Congratulations, Your Majesty. The first trimester is always the hardest. A. Ranulf read the note aloud and tossed it back in the box.
He's threatening you.
I figured. I muttered. Then I decided to bite the bullet and tell them the rest. There's something else you don't know about me.
What is it?
Ranulf asked cautiously. Before I left New York City, I made a deal with the Fae. In exchange for their help in certain matters, I gave them a vial of my blood.
What?
Alexander shouted.
Tell me you didn't!
Oh, she did.
Bash grunted. Charging ahead, I continued. They found Fae magic in my blood. That's why I didn't want Dr. Harris running any blood tests on me. Ranulf exhaled and ran a hand through his hair.
Hell's bells, Your Majesty. What else have you been keeping from us?
Nothing, I promise, that's it. I held up my hand to swear I was being truthful. I don't know if the two things are related, but they just might be. Alexander shrugged.
We'll have to talk to Dr. Harris to find out. We must be able to tell him, darling. You have to see a doctor.
I nodded. Bash and I already discussed it. We're okay with letting Dr. Harris know as long as he doesn't tell anyone.
Very well.
Alexander turned to Ranulf.
Make an appointment for first thing in the morning with Dr. Harris. I want his earliest appointment. Better yet, tell him to clear his schedule for the whole day. We need his undivided attention.
Other people need to see the doctor too, I grumbled. It's not fair. Alexander glared at me.
You and the baby are the main priority of the entire Lycan race.
I huffed, but didn't argue. There was no point. He would insist on the appointment regardless of my protests. For the rest of the night, we discussed how to handle the situation going forward. To say I didn't get any sleep would be an understatement. 3. The next morning, I showered and changed into clean clothes, tossing the rain-soaked clothes that were now dry and stiff into the hamper. Escorted by the Queen's Guard, I was taken to the dining room where breakfast was waiting for me. I was famished. A huge, steaming mug of coffee awaited, and I nearly tripped as I raced to the head of the table to reach it. I needed caffeine pronto. I was running on no sleep and needed something to keep me awake. When I plopped down on the chair with two guards behind me, I grabbed the massive mug and took a big gulp, spitting it out immediately. The coffee flew out all over my breakfast and the dining table in front of me.
Your Majesty, are you okay?
The guards rushed over to me as coffee dripped down my chin and onto my shirt.
What? What the hell is this?
I asked, staring ahead, unblinking.
Can someone ask the kitchen why I was given decaf and how in the world they even have decaf? I told them it was forbidden.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?